was leading me a couple of different directions. I have a couple of thoughts on my heart and on my mind this morning. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord and try to follow His leading this morning. Take your Bibles and look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1 to start with. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. And I'll try to get everything opened up this morning. I got a couple of places I want to show you, and we'll go to a couple of different thoughts this morning, and we'll get to them. Amen. The pastor didn't give me a time, and I'm going to try to be at least have you all so you can get something to eat and be back here for the communion service tonight. Amen. Okay. So anyway, I hope you had good rest last night and everyone's ready. I just want to say those thank yous and updating you on our ministry. We do cover a good bit of Ohio and have for, this is year 20 in Ohio. We started and come back from Wyoming at the end of 1998 and was out there in 93 through the end of 98. And we started in 1999 working in Ohio. The first Rock of Ages missionary and the first any type of Rock of Ages work in the Ohio prisons was when the Lord led us to start, my wife and myself, and to start the ministries of Rock of Ages in Ohio. So Ohio had said no up in to that time. They said they was not interested in Rock of Ages. And it was, the office was in Cleveland, Tennessee. And so they was not interested in an out-of-state ministry. So we established an office in Ohio. And we run that office for 7 years. And the Lord just blessed in an amazing way. He opened up several doors for us. And many prisons began to schedule us. And we had volunteers. And we have those volunteers today. Men that stand up and say, I'm a volunteer with Rock of Ages, and this is my 18th year, or this is my 19th year. And they just, they stand up, they're proud to say that. So that's a blessing. They're in the prison right now. In fact, while we're speaking, they're having a service. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And but then they can stand and say they've been doing it. They're just so proud of being a volunteer for that long and helping us. So then we started the Bible study lessons in Ohio, and that seemed to just grow and grow and grow. And when we closed the office, we moved a lot of things back to Cleveland, Tennessee. But that didn't stop the discipleship work and the need, because the men were just, so hungry. And so when I go to the prison, when I started going to different locations, I just introduced it. I just said, here, we got it. And, so we got it. We know how to grade it. We know how to give you your certificates. So we kept it going. We kept it going. And Cleveland, Tennessee did not want to just have those satellite, type things going around all over the states and different states. But it was our burden and our direction, our ministry. We just wanted to keep it going. Discipleship, we believed so much in it, And I know that those men in the prison, they will write to start doing lessons. But they will do it more if you're there in front of them and you're introducing it to them, and then you're keeping them more accountable. But when you see them again, you ask them, if they got it done and so forth, and they can maybe hand you their lesson instead of mailing it. And so that's what I try to get across to those above me. And, so that worked. It worked. It worked okay. So we have, at one time, we were running several hundred men doing those lessons. And so that just is just a blessing. And so we just see a lot of opportunity. There's still right now new doors opening up, and we have two men right now that are full-time in Ohio. These men are permanent men that have just recently come with us in the past couple of years. So in the past, we've had a lot of men that's come with us, and they've come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. These two men, I believe, are permanent men. And they're raising their support, doing a real good job, just a real good job. So that's going to be a blessing. The Apostle Paul made this statement in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Those words really ring out in my ears that the gospel has something to do with the promise that God has made. Has something to do with a promise. And I have another place in the scriptures I want to look at in just a little bit about a prisoner. But I'm going to go there in just a little bit. But this promise that God made according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus has something to do with the gospel. In Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 13 in verse 38, this gospel of the resurrection, the proven gospel that we know is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, it says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses." Now, back in verse 29 in chapter 13, back in verse 29, it says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." It says, "But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them, with them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people." Now that's the gospel. That's a picture. That's a verse. That's a picture of the gospel right there in those verses. If you remember over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the men that was there, I'm thinking of these men, he was seen of witnesses. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that he was seen of James, and he was seen of Cephas, and then he was seen of 500 brethren at once. And so here the Bible says that he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and we are all witnesses unto the people of this thing, of these things. And so again in chapter 13 and verse 32, he says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise," there's that word again, the promise. If you listen, I'll give you that word a few more times as we look through these verses. But it says, "The promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again." In verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, he says, "Now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." Now that has a lot to do with the gospel right there. That has a lot to do with what we do at the prison. The Bible here says, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Now, when God made a promise, that has a lot to do with the gospel, because he said, "I'll give you the sure mercies of David." The Apostle Paul says that he preaches, he's an apostle, according to the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. You know that these two promises, these promises that God made, they're all intertwined together. God made a promise, and God has a promise that he's kept. And God says, "I'll give you the sure mercies of David." That's a promise of mercy, and that's a promise that we preach in the prisons. And that's a promise that you've received if you receive the gospel. You've received God's mercy, amen? And it's done a whole lot for you. Amen. It's done a whole lot for me. I'm still excited about my salvation. I don't know about yours, but I'm still a little bit excited about mine. Now, I'll just give you a little short testimony. My salvation goes back some good number of years ago. I don't hard to say how long. It goes back a few decades. Decade. I mean, it goes back. And so it just goes on back. I found myself in a Georgia prison. And I was raised as a young man in the city of Atlanta, or outside of Atlanta. I watched the Atlanta airport grow up, and build it. So the Atlanta airport, you ever been there? So I watched them build the Atlanta airport, and I lived outside of there. There was cows out there when I was a boy. That honestly, not too far from there, a little town called College Park, and Riverdale. That was another town that we lived out on West Bedford Road. And so a country town out about 20 miles from 25 miles from downtown Atlanta. And so anyway. As a young man, I stood before a judge, got in trouble, and went off to prison for 3 years in the North Georgia mountains. So I was up there, and while I was up there, my brother, he was out at the Roloff Homes in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so my brother, hadn't seen him in 3 years, and my brother came to visit me, gave me a Bible for a Christmas gift at the prison. And he told me, he said, to be praying for me. He said, I'd like to see you come to Texas, he said, when you get out. So he gave me that Bible for a Christmas gift, and I took that Bible, and the next couple of weeks I went to see the chaplain. And I went in that chaplain's office, and that chaplain led me to Christ. And I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I don't know much about you, but I know I need you. And I said, I want you to be the Lord in my life. I invited him in my heart. I trusted him as my Savior, and I asked him to help me and give me direction and to be my Lord and Savior. And so when I left that chaplain's office, I knew that God had did something in my heart amazing, I'm telling you. And so for the next 7 to 8 weeks, I was in my Bible day and night. And I was praying, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. And I want you to know, just like I tell them men in the prison, to this day, I can tell you that God is answering those prayers. Those prayers I was praying then, God is answering those prayers today. Those very same prayers, God is answering those prayers today. That's where I met my little wife, was down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Well, after those 8 weeks went by, I got out. First week after I got out, the very first week I got out, I walked onto the property of the People's Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. I stayed down there for 4 years, and the Lord just continued to bless my life, began to guide me and help me, gave me my sweet little wife there the last year I was there, and we had our first daughter, and then we left there, came to Ohio, went to Bible college, and then served the Lord in a church and so forth, and then after Bible college, then it was 4 years at a church up in Ohio, and then started with the Rock of Ages. And so there we are from there to here. So I know something about the good mercies of God. Amen. And concerning the gospel and this life eternal that you and I possess, in Titus 1 and 2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And but in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So this preaching is what's committed to me. That's what I'm required to do. Amen? So that's what we try to do. We try to go to the prison. We try to take the preaching. And then along with the preaching, not only do we have the word of God, but we have this promise where the Bible gives us the person of God in the Holy Spirit. Again, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 32, remember the Spirit of God says, I'll guide you into truth, guide you into all truth, and he's the one that makes us happy. Amen? He's the one that guides us and helps us not to grieve God, helps us not to be upset, helps us not to displease or cause trouble or offend. But it's because in Acts 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. That's in chapter 2. We just read that close to something similar to that in chapter 13. But it says, and again in chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Listen, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God has a lot to do with God's promise of salvation. God gave us the Holy Spirit of God so men could be saved. Amen? Amen. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Son. And He gave us the Holy Spirit of God as a promise. His Son was a promise. Amen? And then the Holy Spirit of God came to be a help to you and I. Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Well, remember over there in Acts chapter 13 we was reading. I just want to cover this for just a minute again. In Acts chapter 13, he says, as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. In verse 34, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Now, if you remember the story of David, God had every right and all justification, God did, to judge David. God did. David was wrong. David had committed things that were worthy of God's judgment. Not only being, you know, the things that he did receive God's correction for, but I'm talking about removed from the kingdom. I'm talking about totally removed from the kingdom. David had committed sin. David did not deserve God's mercy. And the Bible says that the promise to David was fulfilled in this, that in verse 23, Acts 13 and verse 23, it says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So it was according to God's promise to David that not only did he have mercy on David, but that Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world because of God's promise to David. And because of his mercy to David. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says, and when thy days be fulfilled. Now this is over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, talking about Saul and David over there. But it says over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says, and when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now God said that about David. God said, I'll establish his kingdom. And as Peter was preaching over there in Acts chapter 13, just to kind of just give you a little bit more, keeping you on with the story, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 15, I like this verse over here. I know we move kind of backwards a little bit, but in Acts chapter 13, verse 15, if you have any word of exhortation to the people, say on. And I say on. If you have any word of exhortation, say on. I like that little verse. If you got any more to say, just keep saying it. Amen? So if you got any more to say, just keep saying it. Hey, Peter, if you got any word of exhortation to the people, say on. And this is what he went on to say. He said on. And he said, down here in verse 21, he said in Acts chapter 13, and afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, which is Jesus. Now there it is again. According to this man's according to his promise, hath God raised. Listen, in 2 Samuel 7 again, it says, "But my mercy shall not depart, as I took it away from Saul." Why? Because God fulfilled his promise. Now, I know, we all know that David also was a man of repentance. I believe he was. In Psalm 51, David showed some real sincere, some real sincere contrite heart. That's what David showed in Psalm 51. And God gave him repentance. That's what I see in this other verse I'm going to take you to in just a moment. This is an interesting verse. There's so many good verses on this word promise here. I'll read another one to you real quick. In Romans chapter 1, it says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." Another promise. Another one on the Spirit of God in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Boy, I tell you what, isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know that God is a God of promise? God is a God of promise. These promises just keep showing up all through the Word of God. Just a couple of them here real quick. It says in Joshua 23, verse 14. I like this. These verses right here. I show these men in the prison sometime. I'll bring it out. I'll say, "Let me show you something really good." And I'll show them this last, nearly the last verse in Genesis chapter 50. We had a Sunday school class this morning. We had Genesis. I love the book of Genesis. I'm teaching the book of Genesis in one prison right now, and helping these guys anyway, going through some of that. In Genesis chapter 50, nearly the last verse, I'm trying to remember where it is, almost the last verse, but Joseph says, "Take my bones out of here. I don't want them to be buried over here. Take them out of here and take them out of Egypt. And when you get over there to where you're going to be at," he says, over there in that other land over there, he says, "I want you to bury my bones. Take them with you." And you know, when they left the book of Genesis, they went through Exodus and went through all these things. And Joseph's bones were carried with them. And then the last chapter of the book of Joshua, Joseph shows up again with them bones. I showed those men in the prison. I said, look here. This is not in here by mistake. This is not in here by mistake. This is a purpose. God has a purpose, and Joseph had a purpose for this. And God is a God that fulfills his promises. Oh, listen, of course, there's more that said about that. But anyway, in Joshua 23 and verse 14, it says, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." He says, "And you shall know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. You're all are come to pass. Not one thing hath failed thereof." One thing I can say this morning is, listen, I can say that God's been faithful to us, to me, to my family, to our ministry, to what we've done. I can say this morning, I don't want to announce it. I mean, I'm not in Ohio, so I mean, I don't make this announcement too much. I mean, you all have been wonderful to us in offerings and support, faithful in monthly support and special offerings and so forth. We have a Bible account. And I mentioned to you that when I was in Georgia just as a young man, and it was that Bible that my brother gave me, really that changed my life, that really made the biggest difference in all my life, being where I was at. He started mailing me some Bible verses there in the prison. And I took those Bible verses, and those Bible verses really began to just, I thought, man, I've never seen all this. And I always tell the men in the prison that I knew that Genesis was in the Bible, and I knew that Revelation was in the Bible. Those were two books I knew that was in there. That's about all I knew, you know. I didn't know much else, but I knew that was in the Bible. That was back in those days. But then I started getting those Bible verses. Then he gave me a Bible. And I took that Bible and I began to look in the Bible myself and begin to read the Word of God myself. And I began to see in the Word of God things that I'd never seen before, never knew before. And that really is what really turned my heart. I mean, God got a hold of my heart and God got a hold of me. And I started turning my heart to the Lord just as hard as I could just turn it. As hard as I could turn it. And I remember that old Marine that had a patch on one eye and he had only one arm. And he said, my dad always taught me, he said, when I play hard, play hard. He said, when I play, when I pray hard, he said, pray hard. When I pray, pray hard. Amen. I always think about that. And so I started praying hard. Amen. I was praying hard. And so I used to pray hard that the Lord would give the Rock of Ages a Bible. We used to never have a Bible that we could give to the inmate. And lo and behold, when Dr. Ron Garris passed away at the end of his life, the Rock of Ages was able to get a hold of a Bible and produce this Rock of Ages study Bible. It's a Bible that we now have. We have this Rock of Ages study Bible. And we can give these to the inmate. And we have a leather type and then a paper type, but they're a study Bible. They're a real nice study Bible. And we get those by the boxes. And so we're able to give those away to the inmate. Man, that's such a blessing. That's such a blessing. And so just some years back, the Lord gave me another blessing. Now, I don't say this to too many people, but the Lord gave me another blessing. He gave me a secret supporter, okay? I have a man that he wouldn't want to be known. He would not want to be known. He would not want anyone to know his name. In fact, only him and God knows that he does this. But he's a secret supporter. And thousands of dollars are poured into my Bible account. Amen? Amen. Thousands of dollars. Now, I don't want to say, you say that, you say, people stop giving. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my Bible account, okay? I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about my Bible account. That I can get Bibles and I can give them away to the inmates. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's from the Lord. Amen. That's from the Lord. So he said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses. Oh, listen, God is a God that answers prayer. He's a God that answers prayer. Listen, I want to take you to one verse real quick over here in Psalm 102. This won't take but a minute here. It won't take long. Psalm 102. I won't be very long here. Psalm 102. I want to show you a verse that if you read it in your Bible, you might have to read it again. Okay? Psalm 102. It says in this verse, it says, Psalm 102, it says in verse 19, in verse 20, it says, verse 19, Psalm 102, verse 19, it says, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Now, when I read that verse, I thought, that's a verse I've got to read again. says the Lord looked down from heaven. Now, I looked in my Bible and I only seen a few times where the Lord looked down from heaven. And the Lord looked down to hear man. Now, God has done that in the past. Okay? But God has only done that in the Scriptures certain times. The Scriptures only indicate certain times that God looked down on man. And there's only certain times in the Scriptures where God looked down to hear. Well, the Scriptures indicate that he did. And here, God looked down on the prisoner that was appointed to death. So if he's appointed to death, that means he has a crime of some type. Unless there's unless he's a good guy and there's a bad guy that's got him in prison, but that's probably not the case. Okay? He's sentenced. He's facing death. So, the Bible says the Lord heard something. Now, when I looked at that verse, I thought about how that God heard his cry. And I thought about how that God has done for you and I because of our cry. Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. And the only way that God loosed him, which that means he was justified, means he was let go, means he was freed, okay, from his sentence. Justified. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, or man once to die. But after this, the judgment. To say all of us are appointed to death, we have a death sentence, okay, all man, I guess, is. But God heard his cry. God heard his groaning. Now, when I looked at that word groaning, I thought, that's unusual too. Only a few places in the Bible do you see that word groaning and what all that indicates and how that God heard groaning from others in the Scriptures. Now, I don't have time to go through all that this morning. I want to cover this about the promises. I want to cover that for you this morning. But I just want to say to you that God has penetrated the curse of sin on mankind for you and I. In that what God did for him, God's done that for you and I in salvation. Okay? Because, believe it or not, we're all wicked. We're all wicked. We're all in need of grace, much grace. And because of that, I'll give you just a few verses here. He loved us, okay? Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. Herein is love, 1 John 4:10, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Several times in 1 John, that's one verse, there's three of them, that we love him because he first loved us, if God so loved us. Other verses. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Not only did he love us, but he gave himself. Galatians 1:14, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Gave himself. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. All of these verses just show us that grace is what God did for you and I. Is that what he's did for this man? It says, hereby for us, 1 John 3:16, hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us. in the flesh, being then made a curse for us, who died for us. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. There's a lot more to those words than I can explain right now for time. Delivered him up and gave, that almost, it's almost the words, if you study the words, to gave is not just gave like we give a gift. Gave means like throwing yourself. That's what the word means. So God looked at man and he did a lot for him. For this man, he did the same thing. God looked down from heaven. He heard his groaning. That led me to something to study in that groaning. And this is what I concluded. Real quick, and I'll be out of here. But I'll just real quick, and this is what I concluded on that groaning. That groaning to me represents this. It represents that God hears these things. This is the exchange and what God does not hear. Okay? God hears faith, a convicted heart, a hearing heart, a believing heart, a searching heart, a desiring heart, a receiving heart, a obedient heart, a fathering heart, a repentant heart. That's what God heard. For God does not hear, and it closes. This is what closes that grace. The stiff-necked, the prideful, the unbelieving, the disobedient, the refusing, the unwilling, the hard-hearted. I've worked in this prison work for a long time. Those don't get through to God's grace. Those don't get through. But God hears the groaning heart. That's what God heard from this man. He's heard his groaning heart. I tell you what, my heart still groans sometimes. My heart groans for God's blessings and goodness, and I'm thankful for his, you know, gratitude, have gratitude for his grace in my life. Amen. And I'm glad he looks over my sins and helps me and guides me, and I can trust him. Amen. I can trust him, and glad I can lead others to say the saving grace of God, them accepting the Lord, and them coming under this place where God hears their hearts. And God, I believe, closes on the stiff-necked, the prideful, the unwilling, the disobedient, the cold-hearted. They don't get in. They don't get in. Amen? All right, if you'll stand with me this morning, the pastor would come. However you want to close your invitation, Pastor, I'll let you do that. I'll get my mess out of the way here.